And I thought, how in the world, what are you going to do once you preach the whole Bible? Well, 44 years later, I haven't preached it all. Amen. It just keeps growing and growing and growing. And I want to help you today. I want you to listen to me. I'm going to lay a foundation, and then I want to help you. I've watched people come and go in and out of church my whole life. I'm talking about people who come, get saved, get their life changed, and then quit church. I'm not talking about people moving. I'm just talking about people just leaving church. People who God had used and people who God had worked in their hearts and their lives, and all of a sudden they're just gone. And by the way, I'll be honest with you. I get tired of watching people fizzle out. I don't get angry, but it gets a little tiring. I know personally hundreds, if not thousands, of people who God changed their lives and their families and now no longer darken the door of a church. Seriously. Some who grew up in church that won't step back in church. They used to be church-going, godly, good people. Now, they're busy doing whatever. Some used to win souls, bring visitors, and help in every way possible, and now they're sitting at home with their fat belly on the couch, watching football, doing nothing. Say, preacher, where are you going? Let me help you. I don't mind telling you, it bothers me. I don't know how somebody can miss church and it not bother them. I know for three services, I was out with my foot when I shattered my heel. It didn't sit well with me, even though I still wasn't of right mind with all the drugs I was on. I kept saying, I still made it to church, I just wasn't preaching. Yeah, but I couldn't not be here. And a couple of those services I didn't make, but can I tell you something? It bothered me. I never want to get to the point, if I ever miss church, it's okay. Let me say it this way. Good churches should be bursting at the seams right now, not shutting down. Amen. Berkeley and Jefferson County is full of people who used to go to church that don't go to church anywhere now. Southern Maryland and Northern Virginia is full of people who used to go to church and go nowhere now. You see, I'm not upset, but I get frustrated. You say why? They're not bad people. Did you hear what I said? They're not bad people. Matter of fact, they were probably pretty good people. Because they were going to church, and God was working in their life. So they were good people, but they got out of sync. They got out of schedule. How many Christians who had their children go to Christian school no longer go to church? How many Christian school kids grow up and never darken the door of a church again? How sad. How many people who used to ride a church bus or a church van to church no longer go to church? By the way, they need reached by our church as well, not just the lost. Can I tell you something? I'm 57 years old, no comments. I've been going to church for 58 years because I went for 9 months before I was hatched. But can I tell you something? You don't have to get out of church. Did you hear what I said? You don't have to get out of church. You don't need to want to be a part of the group that's sitting at home doing nothing today. I love hunting. In honor of hunting, I got my tie on today. Amen. make sure you're safe. And if you're using a tree stand, I'm not using a tree stand. I'll be ground hunting this year, but they grounded me, but they didn't take my gun away. Amen. Now, wait a minute. I'm for all that, but when hunting comes before church, something's wrong. Did you hear what I said? Now, I've gone hunting in church clothes with my camo overalls over top of it and run in and preach church after hunting. Nothing wrong with that. Didn't miss church, though. Had my priorities right. May I say it this way? Maybe you've been one of those who's fizzled out and they're getting back. Praise the Lord. That's what this place is all about. It's a hospital, not a museum. But all over this area are people who used to be in church. There are people sitting in this room that a year from now may not be in church at all. And how sad. How sad. I want to prevent people from quitting church today. I want to help those of you that are here to learn how to not quit church. You say, preacher, that sounds like a strange sermon. Oh, it's one we need in America. Amen. It's pretty bad when the President of the United States has got to get up and promote a Bible and say it's the King James Bible, the one we were founded on. And people want to get upset with that. Man, I want to get my hands on one of those, amen? You say, why? Because I believe that we're going to see revival just before Jesus comes back. Amen. I said it years ago, I'll lead a revolt or I'll lead revival. Don't care, maybe have to do both. But I believe with all my heart, God gave us a reprieve so we could get the gospel out and help more people. Amen. So let me help you. I want to give you 7 statements today about how not to quit being a Christian. How to not quit going to church. Number 1, let God help you in the work by doing it His way. By that I mean this. How about we let God decide what we're to do, not us decide? You know, when I was growing up, we didn't ask mom and dad if we were going to church. When my kids were growing up, they didn't say, Mommy, Daddy, are we going to church today? Now, there were days they got up and said, what are we going to church for today? Because they lived there. But they didn't ask if we were going. Many times, it was a shock if one of them was sick enough to stay home. Say, what constituted that? Pretty much so if they were going to puke in my vehicle on the way there, or when they were little, the fever and the snuffies in the nursery, amen. I want you to notice something. God says in verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Well, I need a day to rest, preacher. Let me show you what God's recipe for rest is. Take my yoke upon you. He didn't say quit working. He said, take my yoke. He said, don't stop everything and do nothing. He said, let me help you carry the load, but keep carrying the load. A yoke, come on up here, Brother Anthony, is something that you would harness to animals. No comments. It goes between their neck and their shoulders, and they would pull a plow together. God says, you come to me and take my yoke upon you, and I'll go shoulder to shoulder with you and pull the plow. He didn't say, come unto me and give me your problem and walk away and make me do your work for you. Thank you, you can have a seat. Don't make animal noises back there, though. Can I tell you something? I'm sick and tired of churches trying to please everybody in the community. Everybody doing okay? I'm going to throw a fit for a second here. I'm so glad I got over to assisted living yesterday. I said, folks, I'm just old-fashioned. They said, good. They looked at the song and said, oh, we know these. These are the old songs. That's all we sing. You say, why? Because I refuse to go the way of the world. God said, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord, to touch not the unclean thing. I'm tired of Baptist preachers wanting to do it their way instead of doing it God's way. That's good. Soul winning isn't this cowardly thing of going out and just putting things on people's doors and ring and run. They don't even ring, they just run. Well, we did our part. Well, I'm glad you did something, and I'll take that over nothing. But God said, go door to door, confront with the gospel, and tell folks they're going to die and go to hell without getting saved. You don't have to be mean about it, but we're supposed to tell people what the gospel is. We're not supposed to have all the pretty programs of the world and all the high tech. And I'm not saying high tech is sinful, but I promise you this. Most of the churches that have gone high tech quit seeing people saved. They quit knocking on doors. I've seen where it leads. They're out to impress a certain clientele so they can get bigger offerings. Bless God, I don't care if you got no money in your pocket or you're worth $1 million. Everybody's treated the same here.
Amen. That's good.
And since we don't have any millionaires, don't worry about it. You see, we need to decide to let God do the work and we assist him. 12 years ago when I started this church, I told God, I've been an assistant pastor for 23 and a half years. God, how about you pastor the church? I'll just be your assistant. Can I tell you something? God and I have had an agreement. He pastors this church. Though my name's on the stationery, he's the one in charge, not me. This isn't my church, it's his church. God said, Jesus said to the disciples, upon this rock will I build my church and the gates of hell. By the way, his church, not our church. It is the church of God, not my church. This old body's going to give out one of these days and quit breathing and quit living. And this church is supposed to stay true to the word of God, not true to the preacher. We're supposed to do that which is right. By the way, somebody gets in this pulpit and tells you the King James Bible is not the word of God, do me a favor, leave. Somebody tell you, well, the former pastor was too old fashioned. We're going to bring it up into the modern century. Do me a favor, go tell him to pound sand somewhere else. God didn't say change. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Let's pull together and do it God's way. That means this. When you're in the yoke with God, let him pull first, you follow. I used to, when my boys were little, you know, there's two handles on a lawnmower for a reason. One's for the big boy, one's for the little boy. My boys couldn't reach the top one, but they could reach that little one, and they'd be out there pushing. Now, Dad was pushing 99%, but they thought they were working. But eventually, they started growing. And then they started pushing a little bit more, and I started backing off. Then they got big enough to push the top bar. I'd say, you push a couple rows, I'll push one. Got to be, they got big enough, I didn't have to push at all. Amen, Brother James? Then those idiots left my house and I had to start mowing again. Now, wait a minute. How do you train them? They go with you first. After they've learned how to do it with you, then they start doing it some by themselves while you're watching. Then you're supposed to be able to trust them to do it without watching. It doesn't always work that way, but it's supposed to. Amen? Can I tell you something? We're supposed to do the work of God his way, not our way.
Amen.
Unless you own the company, you don't walk into the boss's office the first day and say, well, let me tell you how you're going to run your business. That's a good way to lose your job. So I don't like how they run the business. You're the person that decided to work there.
Amen.
Well, I could make it a whole lot better. Well, make some suggestions, whether they take it or not, isn't your business. You're supposed to do it their way, not your way.
Amen.
And if you're doing it your way and not their way, you're disloyal and not right with God.
Amen.
Well, my way's better, preacher. Doesn't matter. Their way's better because they pay the bills.
Amen.
Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. How about we learn to yield to God? Preacher, you always talk about soul winning and getting tracts out and telling folks about the Lord. Yes, and look how many people are here because of it. May I say something? If nobody comes because of it, at least we're right with the Lord. Everywhere I go, somebody has already been there with tracts. Brother Aaron called me a couple months ago and he said, "Was you at the gas station in such and such place?" I said, "No. Why?" He said, "Well, some of your tracks are there." I said, "Well, I'm not the only one that puts them out." Man, you ought to pull up to the gas pumps, and I'm the guy on the track. And there's people out there reading our gospel tracks, and they're looking at it and looking at me and looking at it and looking at me. And yeah, it's me, but I didn't put it there. You saw me drive up. I love it. I enjoy that we have that kind of reputation. Can I tell you something? Jump in. The water's fine. But there's another level of it. You could come out with us on Saturdays and learn how to tell people about Jesus. I'm for giving them the gospel tract. Don't get me wrong. I'd rather you do that than do nothing. But there's another step. You say, "But preacher, I'm afraid." Don't you think we are too? Good night. I've knocked on millions of doors in all over this country. I've been soul winning for 45 years, almost every week of my life. Now think through that for a second. Every week for almost 45 years, I've been knocking on doors. I've been chewed out. I've been cussed out. I've had police called on me. I've had dogs sicked on me. I've had guns waved in my face. I've seen things happen people shouldn't see happen. Guess what? God didn't say go because it's always fun. He didn't say go just because everybody's going to open up their arms and say, "Oh, isn't it wonderful that you're here today? Thank you for coming to my house." It doesn't happen that way very often. Every once in a while, but not always. I've knocked on doors and led people to Christ and them tell me and show me they were getting ready to commit suicide. God spared them from it. I've seen God change families from knocking on doors. Many of you are sitting here. I've seen God do things, and people are now in the ministry serving God full time on the mission field and all across this country because knocked on their door. Now wait a minute. You don't see those results every day, but if you keep on sowing, you're going to eventually start reaping. You see, too many people want to do God's work their way, not God's way. Everybody look at me for a second. I'm not here to be hard on anybody, but there's going to be a certain way we do it because that's what God asked us to do. I think it's only fair, don't you? I think there's certain levels that we, as we go up the chain, that should change. So we'll ask you to change a little as you go. You wouldn't go to work at Burger King wearing a Chick-fil-A uniform. Then why would you want to come to church and work wearing the world's uniform? Just doesn't make any sense to me. So as we move up in our service and our leadership, things should change a little bit. You know, I'm going to expect a little more out of the Christian school kids that go to our school 5 days a week than I am to somebody who only comes on Sunday. You say, "Why is that, preacher?" Because to whom much is given, much is required. I thank God Brother Joe Lopez runs our junior church. Did you know it's a little Grace Baptist Church auditorium back there? He's got the boys that got to wear a tie to take the offering. Girls got to wear certain things to do certain things. You say, "Why is that, preacher?" He's getting them ready for when they move up into here. I love that. Little Timmy came up to me today. He became four this week. This has been his birthday month. He got up Friday morning and said, "Mommy, I think I grew." I love that. I love that. I love that. I love that. He came to the door today. He had his Bible. He said, "Look, preacher, got my tie." I thought, bless his heart, he's going to junior church. He's got his tie, got his Bible. He's going to get something today, amen? Can I tell you something? I love that a four-year-old is excited about that. It's exciting. So, number one, we ought to let the Bible and God show us how to do it. And let's not worry about what we want. Christians get disillusioned because they don't come and get what they want. Can I tell you something? Sometimes what you need is a swift kick in the backside. Well, I don't like the preacher. He was preaching a little too hard for me. Well, every once in a while you need that. My daughter was telling me that not long ago they were getting close to bedtime and Michael had said something like, do you realize we almost made it all day without paddling him? I'm thinking, yeah, you haven't got to the part where have we made it an hour without swatting him yet. It's coming, amen? Say, why? Because that's the way it goes. Every once in a while, the preacher's got to preach a little hard on your sin and mine. I preach to me as much as I preach to you. It's not a matter of whether you like everything or not. You know, there's some things in life you do you don't like. I don't like having to listen to the doctor right now. Believe me, I don't like it. I'd like to shed this boot, throw my hunting boots on, and walk out to the field tomorrow. But it ain't going to happen that way. I'm still going to get out to the field, but it's going to take a whole lot more work, and it ain't going to be fun. I don't feel like listening, but I'm going to. There's some things I'd like to do that I cannot do right now, but it'll come. I have to do it the right way for the right healing to take place. Boy, if we Christians had enough sense to do that. Number two, I got to hurry here. Rest in the work, not from the work. Everybody look at me for a second here. People all over the world yesterday and today won't do anything because it's their day off. They want to rest. I'm not against that. I'm not saying work 7 days a week. Matter of fact, God said work 6 days a week, not seven. And the seventh day, God rested, but that seventh day was church. It was doing the things of God. We put too much emphasis on pleasure and not work. You find strength in the work, not from the work. You find comfort in schedule, not out of schedule. Listen to me. When you go on vacation, go to church. Go to the right kind of church. Well, I don't know where to go. Ask me. I'll look one up. Everybody doing all right? See, once you miss that first Sunday, it's easier missing the next one. You go for 2 weeks and miss two Sundays and two Wednesdays and don't go. You come back. Well, we already missed church, so we won't have to go. Be careful. You get out of schedule. My wife and I went on our 35th anniversary cruise to Hawaii. I made sure before I even scheduled the cruise, I had a church to go to on the first stop. Everybody doing okay? I went to Brother Arza Brown's church, a missionary over there. Got to spend the day with him. We didn't do any touring that day. We went to church. By the way, this church helped. And I was excited about it. You say, why is that, preacher? Because I'm not immune from going to church either. Everybody doing all right? All right. Do you know you get stronger with the more work you do, not the less work you do?
That's right.
I'm just going to go ahead and say it, since we got a real man coming into the White House. America doesn't need more days off. They need more days on. Rome fell because they had 150 holidays a year. By the way, America is not too far from that. Look how many days off everybody gets. Everybody doing all right? That one hurt real bad. Ouch. God made us to work 6 days a week. I think we ought to learn how to work. You get strength by carrying the load, not from putting the load down and looking at it. Now, you rest as you yoke up with Jesus. You see, you go from pulling it yourself to saying, Lord, I need help. He comes up. Gets in the load and starts pulling with you to give you rest. He didn't say put the load down and don't do anything. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. He said the rest comes because we're pulling together. The rest doesn't come because you dropped the load and made him carry it. The rest comes because you said, would you help me pull it? Thank you, you can have a seat. There's many a time where we want to give up the load. Everybody look at me for a second here. If you yoke up with the wrong people, you're going to destroy your life. Please listen to me. I've watched Christians leave church over these three things more than any other three things. When you yoke up with people of the world, you're going the opposite direction of God. Well, I can't come to church because I got to go help my neighbor do this, or I got to go help somebody from work go do this. And that's more important. They have a need. That's more important than me going to church. Well, you've yoked up with the wrong people. And you're going the wrong direction. I'm for helping your neighbor. I have neighbors that I help, but they know I'm going to be at church when I'm at church. I'll schedule around church, yep, and I'll help my neighbor. But I'm not going to help my neighbor and skip coming to church. I'm not going to hook up with lost people in the world. By the way, I've watched preachers leave their churches to get involved in politics. I'd have to step down to be president of the United States. That's a lower position than pastor of a New Testament church. Are we doing okay? I got no desire to get involved in the political arena that way. Just because I think I could do something for my country, I can do more for my country and more for God's country by staying a preacher of the Word of God. You see, when you start going the opposite direction of God, you're going to stress out and get out. It's going to cause so much friction, it'll wear you out. You say, well, I just don't want to go back anymore. I'm too ashamed to go back. Don't you ever be too ashamed to walk through those doors. I don't care how far down you go. I don't care what sin you get involved in. You get back to the house of God. Amen. Number two. When you yoke up with sin and sinful things, it'll weigh you down to where you can't go any farther. Not only do we hook up with the wrong people, but we then yoke ourselves to sinful things. And the more sinful things you yoke yourself up to, the more it will weigh you down. There are people not here today who once sat in this room because they started sinful things, and now they're too weighed down to come to church. By the way, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I'm not talking about they're doing something that you would call bad sin. There are some people, they choose to work on Sunday. They choose to work on Sunday because they can't control their habit of spending. They won't curb their appetite for all the things they want. Now they have to work to pay for it. They got to miss church to work to pay for it. Everybody doing all right? I said it. Number three. By the way, there are people that get scheduled for work and you have no control over it. I get that. But it's the work you choose to do that you don't have to do. Because you've decided what you want's more important than God. Number three, you hook up with people that have gotten out of church. Did you know when you spend time with people who bellyache all the time, eventually you're going to start bellyaching? You know when you spend time with people that are laying in their vomit, you're going to get vomit on you? Then why do we spend time with soured people from church? Welcome to social media. There's a whole world of social media out there for people that think they've been hurt by Baptist churches. Do me a favor. Don't look at that garbage. Why do you want to wallow in the mud with a bunch of pigs? There are families not in this church right now over that very fact. I could give you names and addresses. Everybody doing okay? I'm talking about this church. Say why? Because people out there think that I'm a cult leader. We don't serve Kool-Aid, so don't worry. You got to have gray hair to remember that one, amen? Jim Jones. Now, wait a minute. This is not a cult. I'm not preying upon anybody. I'm preaching the Word of God. If you call preaching the Word of God a cult, then you have something wrong with your head. There's so much I want to say right there. I'm not going to. By the way, they're the ones that have messed their lives up and want to blame me for it. I didn't make them sin. In some cases, I was the one that was telling them they had to follow the rules that God set down. And now I'm the bad guy for it. Matter of fact, they paid me to do that, and now I'm the reason they went bad. I haven't figured that one out yet. Can I tell you something? If you wouldn't be friends with them in person at church, why do you have them on your Facebook or social media? Well, I've hooked up with people that I haven't seen in 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. If you haven't talked to them in 30 or 40 years, you don't need to talk to them now. I hate to disappoint you. If they haven't meant something to you in the last 30 years, how is it going to matter now? Everybody doing all right? Number three. Spend time with God to renew your strength. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Can I tell you why many of you get bogged down? Because you're spending all your time with people going the wrong direction. Spend your time with sinful things and it's dragging you down, it's weighing you down, and you get out of church because you're so tired, you're so weary, and you don't know what to listen to because you haven't spent time with God. They that wait upon the Lord, by the way, the word wait there doesn't mean sit there on your blessed do nothing. The word wait is the exact same word that we would use at a restaurant for a waiter or a waitress. It's somebody who is serving, somebody doing the things of God. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Yes, I get tired, but I promise you one thing. You get me preaching, I'm not tired anymore. I get stronger. A walk with God gives you a strength to keep going. Spending time with God gives you a strength to keep on going. By the way, it'll keep you from going with the wrong people. It'll keep you from listening to the wrong information. This one's going to hurt. How much time have you spent in your Bible in comparison to your social media? This one's going to hurt even worse. How much time have you spent in your Bible and prayer in comparison to all your video games?
Amen.
You tell me what's God then. Well, I got to go on vacation, so I'm going to leave my Bible at home. Oh, no. God, time with God will give you more strength to do His work and your work. Do you know what prayer was originally? Prayer was man talking to God in the Garden of Eden, learning how to do the work to keep the earth running. It was about work. You know, God didn't say to man, figure it out. He showed him how to run the earth. There was no such thing as cavemen. There may be people who lived in caves, but man didn't all of a sudden figure out rubbing two sticks together makes fire. I can take you to the Garden of Eden and show you where the first surgery was. God put man to sleep and took a rib from him, sewed him up. Everybody doing okay? God and man walked and talked. God showed him. By the way, they were doing metal. Oh, well, we don't live in the people in the Bible lived in the Stone Age. Then how did they get brass?
Amen.
By the way, brass isn't something that you mine. Brass is a mixed metal. They had to know how to put them together. And in what amounts to put them together. Everybody doing okay? You have to understand something. God taught man how this earth works. He taught him about oil and coal. He taught him about the stars and how to navigate the oceans. Do you realize in the Bible days, even in the Old Testament, they had mail? More efficient than ours. They had the ability to communicate across long areas. Everybody doing okay? Now, wait a minute. Originally, prayer was God talking to man saying, God, I haven't figured this out yet. What do I do? Oh, you got to do this. Let me show you. Let me show you where to get it. Let me show you what to look for to get it. Why isn't it that God just didn't stack the gold and the metal and everything up on top of the ground? Because he wanted man to work. Everybody look at me. Oil is not a fossil fuel.
Amen.
Can I teach you something scientific? There's not one body, whether it be plant, animal, or human, that when it died ever turned to oil. It turns to dust. And let me ask you another question. How did all those animals get buried a mile and a half, 2 miles deep in the ground? You have to understand something. God made the earth to produce oil. Did you know there's more oil slicks in the ocean that are natural than ever occurred from man-made catastrophes? You go along the Gulf Coast, you find globs of oil all year long washing up. It's not because of the oil rigs out there. It's because it's bubbling out of the ground underneath the ocean.
That's right.
The earth produces oil from the heat naturally in the core.
Yep.
God gave it to us to use.
Amen.
It's not a fossil fuel. Fossil. That means something that was alive that's now dead. No body, whether it be human or animal or plant, ever turned into oil.
Amen.
Once it rots, it turns to dirt.
Yeah. Right.
I don't care how much pressure you put on it, it still turns to dirt.
Amen.
Hmm. Number four. Got a science lesson today, amen? Another reason people get out of church, because they want to dwell on their hurts. Don't dwell on your hurts. We have such a wimpy, mamby-pamby, whiny society today. Well, I didn't get my 9 hours of rest, so I'm not sure I could get up to go to church. God bless you. Well, somebody might have the sniffles and I might get sick. Can I tell you something? You'll get over the sniffles better by being around people with the sniffles than you will without it.
Amen.
Now, there's a foolishness to that side. I get it. But God made you to build, he's got antibodies in you to build resistances to those by being exposed to those. Well, I got to go get my vaccine. Do you know what the vaccine is? A part of that to put into your blood. That's how you build your resistance. Everybody doing all right? Okay, that one didn't go over real well. Maybe we ought to quit seeking sympathy all the time.
Amen.
We want people to feel sorry for us. Bless the Lord. I seek no sympathy over the stupid thing I did to my heel. Yeah. It was my fault, amen. Now, wait a minute. Listen to me carefully here. But we have some people that is all they want is sympathy. I don't care about sympathy. I just want to get the work done.
Amen.
You see, maybe we ought to quit seeking being comforted and start seek to comfort somebody else.
Amen.
Boy, I'm having fun right now. Everybody look at me. You're going to laugh at this. You're going to enjoy this. You'll have somebody come to mind when I say this. You know that person that you don't want to ask them how they're doing because they're going to tell you?
Yeah.
Don't be that kind of person.
Amen.
She shattered my ankle. Preacher, how you doing? I'm doing all right. Oh, wait a minute. 98% of my body was doing all right. Just about a bone about half the size of my fist that wasn't doing all right. I was on a spot that was undoable, so had to rework how it did things. Guess what? Still made it.
Amen.
Still made it. Did it hurt? Of course it did for a while. As soon as they put the screws in, make sure they use Loctite, everything's all right. Just letting it heal. Heal the heal, amen? You know, too many times we go person to person seeking sympathy. And Christians have become very good at it. Well, I have a prayer request. And they want to call everybody in the church and tell them how to pray for them. We don't have a church prayer line. I'm going to tell you why, because 99% of the times it turns into a gossip line, not a prayer line. We got people on there that want to say, well, I need you to pray for so-and-so. Their kid went bad and they're doing this and they're doing this and they're doing this. So you need to pray. You don't need to know all that information. And somebody needs to tell them, shut up and don't tell me all that mess.
Amen.
Everybody doing all right? Just pray for somebody. That's all you need to know. Pray for them. Well, preacher, how do I know what to pray for? God will put it on your heart.
Amen.
He knows what they need before you do. You don't need to know to pray for them. Boy, that's good stuff. Let me help you. There's a generation in here that thinks that it's sinful to pray for yourself. No, it's not, but you ought to pray about 90% for everybody else, 10% for yourself.
Amen.
We have people in here that want to pray 90% for themselves and 10% for others. I spend most of my prayer life for somebody other than myself. Because usually as I'm praying for somebody else, God shows me the answer to what I need.
Amen.
Boy, that's good stuff. Number five. Ooh, I got to hurry. I heard somebody's stomach growl. Try to avoid pressure. Now, by that I mean this. Don't try to compete about anything. Come on up here for a second, Brother Anthony. I'm not in competition with Brother Anthony. And he shouldn't be in competition with me. I've heard him teach Sunday school. Did a fabulous job.
Amen.
Did he say everything I would say? Nope. Some of it was better. Some of it we'll talk about. No. I'm glad I'm not in competition with him. I'm glad he's not trying to compete with me. See, we work together. We're not working in competition. And there's very little pressure because of that. If I'm ever to be gone, I've never come to Brother Anthony and said, okay, now you have to preach this, and I want to see what you're preaching. I want to make sure. I've never done that. Say what? I trust him. He's a man of God. Amen. He walks with God. I hired the man that walks with God. God checks up on him. I don't. Everybody doing all right? So I'm not trying to compete with him. Thank you. I'm not trying to compete with results. Brother C was here Tuesday night at the meeting from over at Frederick. I'm not in competition with Dr. John C. Brother Fugit was here. I'm not in competition with Brother Fugit. These are my friends, but I'm not in competition with them. Then why do we try to compete with each other in church? Well, I want this position. Oh, that's competition. Everybody doing all right? If you don't have the position you want, grumble to God. Don't grumble to me. Maybe God kept you out of it because you aren't worthy of it yet. Because you want it so bad. Learn to live by schedule. Can I take some of the pressure off of some of y'all? Learn to live by schedule.
Amen.
I'm not looking at anybody. My eyes are closed. You don't have to run late to everything. So you can't say I was looking at you. Some of you think on time is 5 or 10 minutes late. No. On time is on time. You'd get mad at me if I started church the way you run your life. Boy, that's good stuff. How in the world am I going to get it all done? I get it done by schedule. By the way, I don't let one thing in my schedule take up the next place's time. I do what I can in the allotted time, and then it waits. And tomorrow, I'll reprioritize, get it a little farther. I don't remember the last time I got it all done. I remember going to work for Brother Hiles, and he looked at me, and he said, son, I'm going to teach you one thing. You just started the first day of your life where you'll never get it all done.
Right.
Don't let it frustrate you. Whew. Guess what? I haven't got it all done yet. Say why? Because there's so much to do. And you may not get it all done, but I can get what is scheduled done. Boy, that's good stuff. I have things waiting on my desk right now to get done. Doesn't bother me because I have it scheduled. By the way, my deadlines come long before it's due. Some of you, if it takes you 17 minutes to get to church and you leave 15 minutes before church, wonder why you can't get here on time. I was always taught, be 5 or 10 minutes early, not 5 or 10 minutes late. Boy, that's good stuff. Moving right along. Don't wait until the last moment to do something. Now, I'm going to put a coon in the tree. Hang on here. Well, I work better under pressure, preacher. No, what you're saying is you have to have somebody force you to get it done. You don't have the character to do it on your own and do it right, so you have to wait to the last second where all the pressure's on you before you get it done. You're looking at the king of procrastination when I was young. My dad's back there grinning at me right now. He knows I was the king of procrastination. But I finally got to the point where I was too busy to procrastinate. I had to start scheduling, getting things done. The ladies' meeting was planned for December back in August. 4 months in advance. I'm already working on dates for next year for Brother Fugit and getting it scheduled and others. I've already got meetings planned in April and things we'll do throughout the year. I already have about 2/3 of the schedule for next year done. Everybody doing all right? I don't wait to the last minute. I don't get up or wait till Saturday to prepare my sermons for Sunday. I know a pastor, God bless him, he gets up at 3 o'clock or 2 o'clock every Sunday morning and works on his 2 sermons for Sunday. I couldn't do that. I couldn't live with that kind of pressure. If I don't have a whole week's worth done in advance, I'm under pressure. I've probably got 6 or 8 weeks worth of sermons sitting in a file ready to go right now. Did you hear that? Say, why, preacher? Because I make sure my deadlines are well in advance. Put deadlines well in advance of the due time. Some of you just live by the due time. And then you want the grace period that goes after it. Avoid topics of friction as much as you can. I counseled a pastor this morning. This morning. He said, preacher, I've got a situation. He told me about it. He said, I'm trying to protect one, trying to bring one back. What do I do? I said, you bring them back and you protect them both. I said, if something gets ugly in the process, you stop and say, we're not going to talk about things we know disagree on. Let's just talk about all the things we do agree on. Amen. You want to get through the holidays without a fight? That's how you do it. Amen. Everybody doing all right? Don't listen to gossip and don't ever gossip. Do you hear what I said? Gossip takes a mouth and an ear. Why do you want somebody to puke in your ear? Why give them your ear? I don't let people throw up in my ear, amen? Whether it be verbally or any other way. Number 6, quit making so many decisions. Let Bible principle make your decisions for you. I make very few decisions. I just live by principle and let my principles make the decisions. Let the Bible instruct you. Let the Bible help you make those decisions. You know, if I were at a table with somebody and they said, do you want to drink alcohol? I don't have to make a decision. Wine is mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. I don't want to be a fool. I'm not drinking. Nor will I pay for it. I don't care if it's my family member or not. I'm not paying for it. Say what? I'm not going to contribute to it. If you do, that's between you and God, not between you and me. I know what my principles are. But it doesn't mean I'm going to throw somebody to the booger man because they did something like that. Now, I'm not real happy about it, and I'm not going to a bar to eat. Amen. My wife and I were out recently, and they wanted. I said, Baptist preacher and the bar doesn't go together. I said, other side of the restaurant. Okay, no problem. No, I wasn't eating with you, Brother Scott. You know, you don't have to explain to everybody why you do what you do. Just do it. You don't have to tell everybody why you do it. Just do it. Boy, that's good stuff. People get out of church. People quit on God. Due to their hurt feelings, due to worry, due to bitterness, due to anger. If you would take the previous 6 things that I just said, a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 50 years from now, if you're young enough, you'll still be in church. Still doing things the way God wants. I promise you. Oh, church is full of sinners. I know. You're here and so am I. We're all sinners. If you expect people to be perfect, that was the first thing that you did wrong. Because we're all sinners. But I hope 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years plus from now, for some of you younger ones, you're still in church. Amen. If you'll do those 6 things, You'll stay in church the rest of your life. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I know, bit of a strange sermon, but I believe very vitally important. I believe with all my heart that it's something that's needed in America today. It's a preacher somewhere in that sermon, something I needed today. Did you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. I'm not angry at anybody. Just wanted to show you what God said. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He's going to make it easier for you, not harder. Let's just do it God's way.